and then I get a little bit lonely. You're never coming around. Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears around. Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by around. Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, and then I see the look in your eyes, bright eyes. Every now and then I fall apart, bright eyes. Every now and then I fall apart. And I need you now tonight. I need you more than ever. And if you'll only hold me tight, we'll be holding on forever. And we'll only be making it right. We'll never be wrong. Together we can take it to the end of the line. And your love is like a shadow on me all the time. I don't know what to do, I'm always in the dark. We're living in a powder keg, giving all sparks. I really need you tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight. Forever's gonna start. Once upon a time I was falling in love, now I'm only falling apart. But nothing I can do but total eclipse of the heart.
That's right, it's Eclipse Day, April 8th, 2024. And we have a special guest today. He goes by the name Piano Rob. Rob Volpe is here. Rob, it's great to see you.
It's great to see you, too. Eclipse Day.
Eclipse Day. Now, this won't air on Eclipse Day, obviously. We record these ahead of time. But, I mean, the eclipse has captivated a nation. Everyone's ready to see the sun blacked out. Sunny eclipses, favorite day of the year, I think.
Yes. Even Disney posted. I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing.
I bought a little flytrap plant. It's really weird at the plant store the other day. It's very exotic. I hope nothing weird happens now.
Because of I'm building that one today. The Lego Super Mario
plant. Oh no, mine's Audrey 2, you know. I named the plant Audrey 2. I don't know why.
Like from Little Shop?
Yeah, could anything bad happen on this day where there's a total eclipse? I don't know.
Feed me.
Yeah.
Feed me, Eric.
It's so good to see you. I haven't seen you in a while because news today has been dark. Tom's gone. You're doing your thing.
Yeah. I miss news tonight. It's really, I know everybody thinks I'm joking. It's one of my favorite things to do.
So that's great.
Our off times are quiet.
You've started a new gig. Can we talk about your new gig?
I think we could talk about everything. I don't think
if you don't know Piano Rob, he's on WW News Tonight. On our sister channel. He also is a former, you've probably seen him if you ever used to go to a piano bar near Epcot.
You can tell. I used to work at
Jelly Rolls.
At Jelly Rolls.
And Howl at the Moon and places like that. Now, Rob is playing occasionally at, can I say that one?
Yeah, you say play it
well. Occasionally at Rose and Crown.
Yeah, but Epcot.
Or as Jake and I call it, church at Epcot. And more regularly at Pat O'Brien's now, your newest gig.
Yes.
At City Walk.
Yes.
How is that going?
For me, it's just a lot of fun. To be my age and still get a little giddy about things is kind of excited. I'm still at that point where I'm not there. I'm there just enough that every time I walk in, I'm just so excited. Like, I get to walk into Universal now and I can work here. Like, it's great.
That's awesome. I'm dying to go see you. I know a lot of people went to see you on your debut.
Yes.
I was unable to go. I'm pretty pumped to go. You just text me your schedule. I want to make sure that
I think there will be plenty of opportunity there, which is what's great.
Can I throw fake tips up there with requests?
What?
Cheap, you know. you're like, I know Eric, but I'll put fake money up there so it looks legit. You know,
actual counterfeit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Monopoly money.
You know, we're friends. I don't need to give you real money,
Bucks.
It would be insulting if I gave my friend money to play songs.
just let me know what you want to hear.
So you got that going on. WW News Today. Tonight is dark, so unfortunately that gig is dead for now. But you will be, are you going to be here for Stage 89? No, you're not.
I'll be in Disneyland for Stage 89.
I mean, if you're going to miss Stage 89, maybe the best excuse is that you're at Disneyland.
Mega Star Wars events that week, too, so I'm very excited.
Oh, May the 4th?
Yeah, and the Star Wars nights.
Yeah, and they have they've launched some of that Season of the Force stuff.
Yes.
They have those little droids running around, Sabine Wren meet and greet.
Yes.
The new Star Tour stuff. There's a new kind of nighttime show, new food.
So much.
Stormtrooper helmet popcorn bucket.
Yes.
Popcorn bucket. Although we have not actually seen it yet. We were told it's coming out.
Okay.
It didn't come out. I was at Hollywood Studios on Friday. We thought we might see it then. Nope. Because they launched all the new Star Tour scenes.
Yes.
I've seen them. We have them on our channel, but you went there specifically just to ride Star Tours until you saw all the new scenes yesterday?
Pretty much. We did a couple other things, but mostly just that.
How many rides did it take before you saw
four? Four for me.
You're kidding me.
Four rides.
There are five new scenes.
Wait, there's five new scenes?
Well, if you count, so yes. Number one, the one that most people miss is when you leave the hangar, Ahsoka is taking off in the X-7.
Got that one.
Okay. The next one is you'll get a transmission from either Ahsoka, Mando with Grogu eating a frog.
Yes, or
Andor. From Cassian Andor.
Got all of those.
And the fifth would be then you get in a dog fight in the pod of Pergil up in the space whales.
I just assumed everyone ended like that because every single one we did ended with that.
Right now, everyone is getting that scene.
Okay.
So your first scene, so you'll start in a hangar. You might get to see Ahsoka's ship. Takes off, you go and you do your stuff, flying around and battling.
By the way, Eric, I was the rebel spy the first one.
You look suspicious.
I had my Obi-Wan inspired type of shirt. I'm like, they're not going to believe that I belong here. So sure enough, they knew.
You look suspicious. Look at the glasses. The glasses alone. You look like this guy's up to. Are those spy glasses?
It is, but in my defense, when you're on the ride, everybody was wearing glasses.
That's true. That's true. No, they're not necessarily wearing glasses when they photograph the rebel spy, though. Sometimes they do that right before they tell you to put your glasses.
I always wonder when they do it and decide.
Yeah,
I don't know the whole deal.
Reporters, Nana,
had
her picture taken as a rebel spy. And she didn't have her glasses on yet.
Interesting. Yeah.
So you never know. You never know. But anyway, so the sequence is this: you leave the hangar either where you see the Millennium Falcon or you see Ahsoka's ship, right? Then you have that little zipping around amongst all those Star Destroyers and stuff.
And you have a couple of different beginnings, too.
Yeah, there are a couple different beginnings.
Yeah, okay. And then, zipping around.
Zipping around the Star Destroyers and stuff. You hit hyperspace. You go random planet, right? Random, just like old Star Tours.
Yeah,
we went to the Wookiee planet. You go to Hoth. You go to, Pod Race.
We got all of those.
All these different things, right?
Yes.
Then, bam, you leave. Then you get your transmission, and it's like Mando saying, "I need your help. I'm sending you coordinates. You got to come help us."
Yes.
Zip. The Mando case is pretty funny because Grogu's trying to eat this frog, and it makes him spit it out.
And
it's like the 3D gag.
Nice 3D tricks. Right? Yes.
And then you end up flying to a planet that I don't think you ever see the surface of the planet. You're up in the clouds. There's like a pod of the space whales, Pergil.
Yes.
They're called. Ahsoka flies by and says, like, "Hey, it's two against one. I need a little help here." You do a dogfight.
Exactly.
And then, I'm not sure because I'm not totally versed in, like, I don't remember ever seeing of Star Tours. It's the first time I remember doing, like, a barrel roll.
I don't remember a barrel roll.
Yeah, and you do a barrel roll after you inevitably shoot down the bad guy.
Yes. I feel like I've been to some theme park, but it could even be like a Legoland, something where they use that trick where they've tried to do it, but I don't think Star Tours has ever done a barrel roll.
No, you do like a barrel roll on Flight of Passage.
Okay, a full one?
Yeah, as you're going down towards the end,
yes.
By the way, I have a Flight of Passage story from the weekend.
Oh, no.
So, among all the other things, I did that event on Friday. Then Friday afternoon, Saturday, Jill Diffendahl joined us, and we ate all of the treats for Earth Month. Animal Kingdom Lodge, Disney Springs has special treats. And then we're like, let's ride Flight of Passage while we're here on Saturday. So, I get in a room where you're standing on your number, and he's like, "Move around a little so I can see," all that stuff in Flight of Passage. We go to the final pre-show room. And Jake and I are, like, number 15 and 16. We're at the end of the line. And he's like, "Hold on." And then I look down. So everybody else is inside there, but you look down and someone has taken a tinkle on the floor.
No.
Can I say that? Yeah, there's a little tinkle on the floor. So we're like, what? Where? There were some small kids that were with some people. Who knows who did it, right? But they, the cast members, without telling us what it was, were like, is that what we think it is? They're like, it's not what you think it is. They were very nice. I'm sure they were frustrated because they were going to have to clean it up. We go around. They didn't want us to walk through there, though. They had to put down some stuff, so yeah, we kind of go around it and get on the ride. Then we got off. They're waiting. Someone's waiting for us. They're like, were you guys 13, 14, 15, and 16? And we're like, yeah. They're like, okay, we apologize for what happened. Here's, like, you know, is there a ride that you would like to get, like, a lightning lane for?
Yeah.
To, like, make it right.
Okay.
They're like, yeah. So I was like, apparently a new hack, all you have to do is have someone pee on the floor.
No,
and then you get a free lightning lane. Oh, that was something.
Oh my God!
It's probably inappropriate for the show. This people that come here to listen to Disney family.
Things happen. It's interesting when you witness certain things.
It was quite a day. So lots of eating of things. Then because I've learned that this is a big segment of people in the Disney community, we watched WrestleMania.
Okay.
I haven't watched wrestling since I was a kid, except for a brief period of time when I was, like, stationed in Cuba when everyone watched WCW or something like
okay.
that.
Okay.
So, our friends came and had a really tall inflatable screen they wanted to try out. They put it in our backyard. We projected WrestleMania onto the screen, had the happily ever after fireworks going off in the background. It was amazing.
How wrestling's meant to be watched.
Right. So I don't know all the people, but I know who, like, The Rock is. I know who John Cena is.
I gotta say, I wonder, there was a time I loved it, too. I have no idea if the storylines would grip me again.
Yeah. No, I thought, so that was Saturday. WrestleMania is a two-night event.
Which is
so blowing my mind, too. When I got home last night, I got home kind of late, and WrestleMania was just finishing. So I turned it on anyway, and it's the most bonkers, hilarious, amazing finish to WrestleMania that I could have imagined.
Are you telling everybody?
No, I'm not going to tell anyone.
I don't know if we got to put a spoiler alert.
Then there's another thing on Peacock right now that is a profile of a wrestler named Bray Wyatt.
Okay.
And it's interesting to me because he's from the town where I went to high school, Brooksville, Florida. So we played for the same high school football team many years apart from one another. You know, we're like,
okay,
it's interesting. They show the town where I went to high school a lot in there and stuff. And he unfortunately passed away last year. So
that's so.
But he was like a WWE champion at one point, and it's an interesting story because he was a transformative personality in WWE because he was actually doing like movie type characters instead of like corny over the top like vaudevillian characters most wrestling characters. He had a whole backwoods cult kind of thing going on for a while. Then he reinvented himself and had like something that was like someone with a guy called the Fiend, right?
Okay.
I never saw this.
I don't think I saw.
I've only seen the clips they show, but the Fiend is like some kind of monster, but his alter ego, his other personality, is like Pee-wee's Playhouse. So he's like, "Hey kids, welcome!" You know, so it's really bizarre. It's really I haven't finished the whole thing, but it's pretty cool.
Does that happen often for you? Famous people from your area is that a big deal?
I don't know.
No, because I never get excited to see if people are famous from where I grew up.
Doesn't know it
because it's Brooks.
I think because you're from New York.
I'm from Staten Island.
You're from Staten Island. There's all kinds of famous, but not a lot of famous people from Brooksville, Florida.
I'm usually happy to see.
And Lawrence, Kansas, the places. They're like, oh yeah, Vinny Bag of Donuts is here.
Whenever they bring up and so and so is from Staten Island, I'm like, oh, here we go.
Here we go. Yeah. No, when I was going to high school in Brooksville and like later in life, it'd be like, there's never anything going on, and then all of a sudden when there was, it was national news of something like. The city accidentally sold the water tower. They sold a guy like a little plot of land.
Okay.
And they're like, oops, the city's water supply was also on that land. Oops, we sold it to someone for $800.
That's
stuff like that.
That's great.
Oh, boy. So a thing about the podcast is we get way off track. But obviously people see you write
your keyboard. Wait a second. Something this company does gets way off track? It's every News Tonight show.
I think it's why people like us. Because we're like them. We're scatterbrained.
Well, and I I don't know. I've found his fame has changed over the years. I think people just really like normal people.
Yeah.
There's more fun in real life than in most of the time.
Yeah. I get it.
Like, this is how we are. It's a Monday afternoon right now, and we have somehow created a life that this is what we're doing.
Yeah. It's so just everybody knows this already, right? The Wigs are watching live.
Yes.
That is a perk of being a Wigs member. You go to www.nt.com/Patreon or patreon.com/WWNT. And you can learn how to be a Wigs member for as little as $2 a month. At the $7 up level, they are able to watch us do this live, do this nonsense live, just on a separate stream. And then someone will edit this and cut out any F-bombs we drop or something like that.
So this is the only way you're going to hear them.
Yeah. If you want to hear us cuss, you have to do that. Also, I'm outfitted by Park Candy today.
Yeah, look at you.
Nice Park Candy. This is like a Haunted Mansion type of shirt.
That is
inspired
nice.
By the Haunted Mansion.
I gotta check out the Park Candy shirt.
Four-way stretch. There, feel that. It's really, feel how stretchy and comfy.
Oh, yeah.
It's really light.
It breathes. It's not heavy.
Yeah, right. It's really light and comfortable, and you kind of wash and wear, right? You don't have to iron it. At least I haven't had to iron it. And then, if you go to parkcandy.com and you put in the code WDWNT at checkout, you get 15% off.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You hit all your hot spots. That was great.
Hey, this studio doesn't pay for itself.
I'm outfitted by...
You got to sell a lot of shirts.
I'm outfitted by the studio today in my my Please Stand By shirt.
Are you trying to imply that we've ever had shows where we had to tell people to please stand by?
I mean, it may have happened.
You know when it happens is on News Tonight.
It's
whenever Tom disparages Stitch,
yeah.
Jake throws up the... Jake's like, oh, it looks like everything's broken now until you stop being mean to Stitch. And we'll get the Please Stand By logo on.
I'm going to derail us just for 1 second.
He's got
the wrong one.
That's the wrong one.
You know what else today is? Eclipse Day today? Since we celebrate dumb days, it's Rex Manning Day.
Say no more, Monomore.
Say no more.
Empire Records, right?
Empire Records.
Rex Manning Day.
Rex Manning Day.
That's the best. So we have an eclipse. We have Rex Manning. The national championship is tonight, which will obviously be settled more than a week before this video launches.
Yes.
For the sake of my household, I have to hope that Purdue wins because my girlfriend Lee is a Purdue alum.
Let's pretend that we should do two separate things now where we say which team won, and Jake can cut out the one that's wrong, and it looks like we're no
Jake's Jake's not going to cut out. Billy will cut it out. Well, congratulations to the Purdue Boilermakers on their resounding victory.
Yes.
That is great. It's their first national championship. This was their first Final Four since 1980. So it's great to see those Boilermakers doing well.
And in my Gray's Sports Almanac here that I got when I went to the future, it says that the UConn Huskies just won tonight. It was an amazing championship.
It's unfortunate. I feel like Purdue put up a good fight, but UConn, congratulations.
Yeah, these are very good.
Congratulations to UConn for winning.
Sorry, Lee.
Yeah, we've got our bases covered now, right?
So stupid,
and
but
to
I love
those
it.
Of you pulling up your Hard Rock app, the only legal betting app in the state of Florida.
It's true. They don't sponsor us, but they should.
This is in the past, so... So we're going to talk about Disney music today.
Yeah, why not?
We've done this kind of before when we did WDWAF, where we went to the lounges. We went to Dolly Lounge.
We went to Dolly.
We talked
that
a little
was the
bit
last...
and we talked about our favorites and all that stuff. But I think one of the things that's overlooked that people don't think about that makes your Disney experience better is the music. And that could be the music for, the feature music for an attraction, background music in the parks, familiar music from films and movie and cartoons, all kinds of great things. And who better to talk about music than you?
Probably a couple of people, but I am so happy to be one of them because I love talking about Disney and especially the music.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start with this one because it means something different to everybody. I think when you think of Disney experience, though, Disney music and your experience of Disney music, everything kind of starts with the Sherman Brothers, right?
Yeah, let me really think, but that probably, yes, that's where it starts.
I mean, it doesn't start with them. There are things like Fantasia and things that took inspiration from Tchaikovsky and stuff. But when you're thinking of, like, modern-day Disney experiences, going back to Mary Poppins and those type of things, too, all the way back there to the days of Walt Disney standing there at the piano with the brothers listening, I think especially when you talk about piano music. You got to think about this. The Sherman Brothers are certainly the center of the Disney music universe.
They're the first staples, I think, right. I would say. Yeah, when you think, if you're going to go, well, who's the oldest Disney composers that you really, that's who comes to mind. And then the theme park attractions that they wrote great stuff for as well.
If you include Pixar, you have to include Randy Newman when you're talking about Disney music.
Yeah, of course.
A lot of great.
Randy's fantastic.
Yeah, very prolific. Danny Elfman.
Yes.
He's done a lot of stuff.
And they all have different styles. Right. Everybody you've mentioned is so different.
The Sherman Brothers are interesting, though, because they have a lot of music that was composed specifically to be in films. And they have a lot of music that was specifically composed to be in theme parks.
Yes.
So that's kind of interesting, right? When you look at their kind of repertoire, they hit all of these perfect notes, no pun intended, throughout movies and theme park properties. And you would think these are two different things, right? Because especially when you talk about music at Epcot, you're telling stories, right?
Yes.
You're not being as artistic, you're being a little bit, for lack of a better term, a little bit more scientific with your music, right? You're trying to teach, you're trying to educate. And you're creating these, you're doing it through music.
So you know what's interesting, though? I wonder if how much their approach is different. So here's musically. Their music is all written very similarly to me. Whether it's, they like to do a lot of this, they move the root note down to the seventh. Of course, you all know what I'm saying.
I don't know what that means.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. They do that with.
Yeah.
Oh, that's to me is a signature of theirs. But I feel like they do that a lot in a lot of stuff. Supercalifragilistic. And there's a great big beautiful tomorrow.
Right.
It's all the same feel. It's very bouncy. I feel a lot of their stuff. Even like. With tuppence, but paper and string. It's always very bouncy.
Don't let me stop you if you want to keep going.
No, well, I feel we're going to.
Other than like Feed the Birds, which is like, that's kind of not a bouncy upbeat song.
But their style.
But I could see.
Feed the birds, tuppence a bag. And you want to know what? Feed the birds, tuppence a bag.
I get it. Yeah, you're right.
That's their style. And I can
hear. It's almost like I don't know anything about music.
Can I be honest? Everybody hears it, and you'll connect the emotion, but you won't know how to explain it. And because maybe I just understand the language a little more, we'll put it that way, I see it. And when I recognize it, I'm like, oh, that's magical.
Well,
that's
you magical actually move. Sit there and put your fingers on the keys and understand those relationships and ratios of, you know, these root chords and how they turn into a song.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I'm sure you can recognize those patterns. Pattern recognition is what makes humans special, right?
Yes. But all those songs, and you know what's funny? Stop me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Their Small World, Their Imagination, I think they're all of those. They're all the same feel.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it. Do you want to play your favorite one?
Oh, my God. There's so many good ones. Let's do which one I know resonates with this channel. Just one spark from me to you.
Now, before we started, you played a boogie-woogie version of that for me.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I like that, too. I like the variation.
That could be the end of the ride when you're popping him when he's in the moon.
Yeah. That'd be great. I always thought the worst cast member job is probably the unload area of that ride.
With the lights on.
Yeah, level. And it comes up and it just plays Imagination all day long, a full blaring, I don't know.
That's got to be a lot of rides. Probably. Those are, see, I always want to end up in funny places. If one day you went through the end of that and it's my head in the moon, some boogie woogie version, that's what I want to do.
I did just call the song Imagination. I know it's called Windmills Park.
One of those,
just for the record. Just for the record, we do that.
Some of the shorthand, I feel like you were allowed to call it. If you call that song Journey into the Imagination, I won't give you a demerit or anything.
Well, I think that's the thing with Disney, too, is a lot of people call things by shorthand or even come up with abbreviations that are kind of cumbersome abbreviations that people would rather call it, like, DAC than Animal Kingdom. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You're like, oh, no, I'm going to DAC.
I think, and some people, whether the reason is they want to sound cool, like they're on the in, mm-hmm. or there's people like my father who don't pronounce any, like, Test Track is Fast Track still.
Yeah.
Fast Pass is always Fast Pass.
Well, it's like when somebody knows, when somebody claims to know they're Disney, you ask them, well, hey, the Little Mermaid ride at Magic Kingdom, what's it called? And what's it called the Disney California Adventure?
Okay.
And what's the name of the show at Disney Hollywood Studios? And they're all like, I don't know, the Little Mermaid show, the Little Mermaid ride.
I'll have to take a second. Yeah. It's Journey of the Little Mermaid at Magic Kingdom, right?
Let me see.
I'm curious now.
The Voyage of the Little Mermaid is the show.
Is the show.
Right.
And I only know that because I worked at studios back in the day. That's funny.
Let me see. Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid.
Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid. Yeah, see, that's funny.
Right. And then at Disney California Adventure.
And I'm here all the time, but I just think that's where the Little Mermaid ride is.
At Disney California Adventure, the Little Mermaid Ariel's Undersea Adventure. So there's these little variations in the way that things are called, even though they're the same thing. And so that Disney loves to, theme parks in general, they love to put like M dashes and colons and all kinds of stuff in the middle of the names of their attractions.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Universal, half their rides used to be called like such and such, colon, the ride. Remember that?
I mean, but their theme was ride the movies.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, but that is funny. Yes.
It made sense back then, but.
Well, that's what, I mean, if they ever rethemed Rock and Roller Coaster, I just wanted mm-hmm. Piano Rob, mm-hmm. the roller coaster.
There is also the. The Disney California Adventure, which used to be called Disney's California Adventure, and they got rid of the apostrophe S. Universal has done that with all their parks.
I thought the apostrophe was still there.
No, it's gone. It's Disney California Adventure.
Wow, okay.
It's not Cinderella's Castle. It's Cinderella Castle. All that kind of stuff where you're like, I don't know why they did this. I don't know why it's like that. But here's the way it is now.
That's so funny. It's so
and that's
specific.
The way that people measure their
that would be a really
against
big,
other people.
That would be a game. That mm-hmm. would be a good game to get the really specifics of
name
what
the full
called.
Official version of the ride,
or give right? people multiple choice. Because if you write four very close ones, people are going to stare at it and go, "You know, I don't know." Now that I'm looking at it,
yeah, I don't really know that.
That's great.
I'm not sure.
That's
like
the backlot tour, the Disney Studios tour, the Disney Studio backlot tour. Like, you could call them a bunch of things, and people mm-hmm. are going to be like, "Oh, I wonder what the official name is."
Yeah, there's all kinds of those.
That's yeah.
So. What is the name of the ride with the Yeti at Disney's Animal Kingdom?
At Disney is Expedition Everest.
Expedition Everest dash Legend of the Forbidden Mountain.
Oh, I forget about that.
You know what I mean? It's you know, I know what you mean when you say Expedition Everest, but you have to like look it up.
That's what I mean.
What is the exact? And that's the way that some people measure knowledge. And there's some people that are really good at remembering the exact name of something. And I'm not one of those people. So
yeah. Sometimes
I try my best.
There was a time I feel I was really good with it. And then I think as you just get older and your brain gets filled with more and more nonsense, you're like, I don't need to know the full name anymore.
Yeah. So we'll get to theme parks, but I want to talk about movie soundtracks in particular.
Okay.
Because I feel like when you were a kid, that's probably what connected with you first before you ever went to, most people, before they went to Disney World.
Yeah.
Or Disneyland, was a Disney movie or a show or something where they had a catchy little tune. Like, who doesn't know the They Might Be Giants, like, hot dog song?
You're right. And that's...
What kid has
And that's after
that
both of our song? Times, too. Yeah. And we still know it.
Oh. I was at Disney California Adventure a few weeks ago for the opening of Food and Wine Festival. And they started playing the Super Kiddies. There's a show for the Super Kiddies.
Okay, I don't know if I know this one.
I don't even know who the Super Kiddies are. But I'm telling you, two notes into that song, the kids were going insane.
Yeah.
The kids were going crazy for the Super Kiddies music.
Yeah.
They probably came to the park. They probably made their parents take them just to go see the Super Kiddies show.
Sometimes I feel like it's like it's a formula that they know certain things. Like, that's it. This age group, mm-hmm. you pop in these notes. I don't even know what Super Kitties is.
Yeah. A long time ago, I used to listen to They Might Be Giants a lot. So one day I'm in the shower and I tell the computer lady speaker in my bathroom to play music by They Might Be Giants. And like their first five songs are all like kid the most songs. Popular five songs are like kid, because they've transitioned to making kids songs. That's
the,
right?
There's a market. I think they found a good niche in yeah. there. It's and it, they do good at it.
Yeah. That's but their funny. Music is kind of silly and there's a formula to the, what they do. And yeah, it's kids. It's they're really good at kids music.
Yeah.
And I like the hot dog song. Who doesn't like that song?
Dun, 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 dun. Hot dog.
I don't know. That's good stuff. But you think movies.
Movies. Right? Well, I'll tell you who
I... And TV, I guess. But
I'll tell you who I think of first, if we're going to talk the big ones, is Alan Menken. Especially
yeah, Howard Ashman,
when he was with Howard Ashman yeah. during the Renaissance, yeah. as Jeremy Irons used to say on Spaceship Earth.
I agree. Those are...
But that's...
Speaking of which, we just talked about Audrey 2. Didn't they do Little Shop of Horrors?
They did.
At least the film.
They did, and you know what's funny? If you watch that play, maybe you, that's something you haven't watched. You're a Disney fan, but you haven't been like, well, what else? You can hear those guys all over that sound. Like you can, if you're used to this, yeah. There's just something. Now it's going to be. I guess we'll just say this now. Alan Menken is the peak for me as far as the musical compositions.
Yeah.
Like he is. I feel like it's hard for some of the newer composers, and I hate saying that because I want to love everything. It's just not on that level. They can't seem to get to that same level as Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast, and you want to go Hercules
Little
soundtrack, Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
There's just something about the it's more complicated writing. There's sometimes things that I don't even think should make sense, but it makes sense musically, like... He doesn't change this chord for the first, I can show you the world. It's still the same chord. Shine and shine. And then there's two chord changes. Another one, princess. Then he starts, like, but it all flows together to get back to the same spot.
Yeah.
It's just more complicated than some of the other stuff. It's not Dave Matthews, say, complicated, where for everybody it's like, this is so complicated, I'm not even enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's like it's complicated, but it gets back to where it needs to be, and it sounds beautiful.
Did you ever play Guitar Hero back in the day?
Yeah, always.
The hardest was always to get to Tom Morello, and you're like, I have no idea, right? From Rage Against the Machine, yes. He's like, you know, or the bass, what's his name? The bass player for Primus.
Oh, I don't know his name.
Now it's going to drive me crazy, but.
I'm not going to think of his name. But yeah, but that's.
Les Claypool.
Okay, yes.
You know, this kind of funky, like, oh, that shouldn't work, but look at it, it works.
Yes, and yeah. That's what I like with music. Instead of, I hate to say today, most of it's predictable. It's right. The same four chords. I know the box that these singers are going to stay in. This is it. There's no surprises. If you're a movie buff, you might feel that way about movies. How many times you're watching a movie and you're like, oh, that's the bad guy. I know what that person's going to do, and this is probably how it's going to get resolved. I want to be surprised, and right. Good writing can surprise you in any artistic medium. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, I feel it's not there.
I think the same thing. Like you can identify these people from a million miles away. Sometimes you hear something, you're like, is that
yes,
Moana soundtrack? You're like, that's Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes.
I recognize Lin-Manuel Miranda's music, even
yes.
though his music in Moana is distinctly different from his music in Hamilton or In the Heights or
some of these. But to me, it's not. I actually
right,
did
there's still these. There's still these like signatures on there, right?
I'm not throwing away my shot. I'm not throwing away my shot. And then that is the same as talk about. It's got that same feel.
Yeah.
His style is not my personal favorite, but I can see what he does. He likes to layer, too.
Oh, very, yeah.
So, like, in Bruno, to me, it's almost like composing. I don't want to say like a DJ because I don't want to take it away, but it's like, I'm going to play this. to put a 7-foot frame, rats on his back, or when a call. And then, but the whole song is over that. It was my wedding day, and we were getting ready. You know, it's just the same thing with little change, and we're just layering above it.
I think one of the interesting ones is when you go from something that's very kid-friendly, like Frozen, with Robert Lopez, Bobby yeah. Lopez, Christian Anderson Lopez, to other some of his other work, like Book of Mormon or Avenue Q, which is yes. decidedly irreverent and yes. very, very adult in nature. And it's funny when you think, like, how good they are at writing kids' songs and also how dirty their minds can be with some of their other songs.
And did they do their own lyrics, though?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure they collaborate with people. But
I'm curious. But yeah. Obviously, the South Park guys. I'm going to see Book of Mormon in November here.
Have you seen it before?
I have not seen it yet.
So I did something that's kind of funny, I think, is Lee, I took her to New York one time. We went to New York on a trip one time, and I got tickets to Book of Mormon. I had seen it before. She had not. She had no idea what to expect.
Oh, that's
great. We're like third row, dead center, and I was like, you know, it's... She's like, what's it about? Like, is it serious? Is it fun? She kind of has figured out that it's funny, right? But they open up, and she was not ready for, like, how...
I know a lot of the music, so...
Yeah, how wild it was going to be. It just, like, I spent the whole show watching her reactions to everything, because it was so funny to me. Like, sometimes, you know, isn't it fun to watch someone else's reaction to something? Isn't that even more fun than watching the things?
I do that with Allie all the time, though. Like, I love when I know something's coming that she doesn't know, and it's gonna... But and that's what I'm talking about, though, good writing. Like, that's what I mean, like, to make somebody want to see that... Yeah. Book of Mormon, by the way, you and me, but mostly me, could be my favorite Broadway song.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so fun. I don't think I know it. You and me, but mostly me, are gonna change the world for real. That whole song is great.
I can do most anything, and I can stand next to you and watch.
It's great. It's everything about it is great.
Every something, so this is to
The Lopez's did the music to, like, WandaVision and stuff like that, too, which was a lot of different stuff that, you know, every week was something different that they still incorporated the same theme.
I happen to know from a previous conversation with you that one of your favorite movie soundtracks in the Disney universe is from a Goofy movie.
Yes. Yes.
You want to... Give us some Goofy music?
Where do you want to start with Goofy movie?
I don't know. Give you your favorite track.
Then we gotta go. I got myself a notion. What I know that you'll understand. To set the world in motion. By reaching out for each other's hand. Maybe we'll discover what we should have known all along. One way or another, together's where we both belong. If we listen to each other's heart, we'll find we're never too far apart. And maybe love is the reason why, for the first time ever, we're seeing it eye to eye. It's a little high this early, but I still love it.
I love it. If I had a lighter app. Yeah, or a lighter app, I would fire it up.
But Tevin Campbell, that soundtrack is so 90s to me, but it's also so unique. Some of the songs are a little more complicated than you would think.
Yeah.
But I think that movie has one of the most solid full soundtracks when you think of the amount of songs, and some of them very different. Than each other. Those Powerline songs are very different than, like, the Nobody Else But You ballad.
Yeah.
I like the beginning where they get into school. What the hell is it? They've been laughing since I can remember.
Yeah, full confession, I've seen Goofy Movie, like, twice ever.
Oh, that's right. See, we've talked about this. But, you know, it's funny. You're a little older than me.
Yeah, I'm just enough older than you that, like, Goofy Movie was, like...
Wasn't cool, probably.
No.
But it's great. And now I'm glad to see the cult classic of it kind of... have a resurgence over the last decade here.
Yeah, I kind of want to just dress like Powerline.
Yeah, I wouldn't look good in the bodysuit at this current moment.
Isn't there the Max as Powerline outfit you could pull off, maybe?
Probably.
Yeah.
I remember the Max baggy jeans school outfit.
Yeah.
Wear whatever you want.
All right, go for it. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid are right there.
Well,
for
yeah,
me,
this
Hercules is
Hercules is fantastic. I feel like when it started getting to because this is after Howard Ashman passed, I almost feel like Alan Menken's music got more complicated for like Hunchback and Hercules. Yeah. It changed a little. It was very good, but like Hunchback is deep too. I don't even know if I remember.
So many people call Hunchback underrated. They can't possibly be underrated because so many people love it. They just feel like it doesn't get a lot of play in the parks. Maybe,
but it doesn't. I mean, since the show and studios, I'm trying to think how much love it really gets.
Yeah,
but the characters I think are also it's so highly religious. Based, yeah. I wonder if that's reasons why they're careful with it too.
I mean, they get some good run in Happily Ever After.
Yeah.
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 Everybody gets a little bit.
And I feel like that's when you can put it. It's in and out. It's in a montage of everything. It's nothing. But I don't know if they're ever going to like focus. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah. Well, there's the thing. Like, I feel like Hercules doesn't get enough credit for being a great film. And
now I can tell you why I think for that one, honestly. Yeah. If I am correct, mm-hmm. Hercules did not make a lot of money until much later because that's when the animation unions really upped the price for animators.
Okay.
So I think it cost Hercules something like three times more to make than it was supposed to.
It cost Hercules a lot of money.
That's what I thought.
He's probably broke.
You're right.
He's going to have to sell a lot of air Hercs.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Merchandise.
Yeah. I mean, But the greatest nighttime spectacular song of all time is in Hercules, right?
Which is
Go the Distance.
Go the Distance is always, it flip-flops for me, but it's always top two Disney songs of all time.
Yeah, like any show, they're like, screw it. At this point now, we have to figure out a way to cram this in there.
But see, that's what I don't like.
Like that too.
Like, you've used it. We've seen where it shines. You got to give me something. Like, I don't want to see
it. Did you ever notice in Harmonious, it's felt really... Go the Distance felt really forced. Like, we got to cram it in here. And you're like, it felt like they changed the key so that it matched whatever song they were matching
Which is what they do.
And so it's hard to recognize it at first. And then boom, you're like, oh, I recognize it. And they're like, let me change the language on you.
Yes.
You're like, oh. And it's like really high. It's just doesn't feel right. I think that was my criticism. Like, most people said Harmonious was a beautiful soundtrack. They just didn't like it because it blocked their view. I hated the Harmonious soundtrack for the most part. I felt like there was no point where you could be like, how do you close this show? How does Harmonious end? Nobody could tell you.
Yeah.
A couple people could. They're like, oh, sort of with an anticlimactic song that was supposed to feel climactic. You know, and I just feel like it missed the mark all across the board for me. And I love what they tried to do. I love I didn't love the show infrastructure, like the giant ring. But in terms of like what they were trying, the message and story they were trying to tell, I didn't have a problem with. I just felt like execution was kind of all over the place.
I love that we're talking about this. This is going to get very interesting, yeah. Eric, because I have a thing lately that's really been driving me nuts now and then. And it's for me, it's a very easy difference between many times a good show and a bad mm-hmm. show. Music is the basis for all these things.
Right.
It is the basis. If the music is not right, if it's not telling the story, you can dress it up with all the lights, all the fireworks, all the fountains, yeah. or whatever you want to dress it up with. There needs to be something. There is something, and part of it is writing, and a big part of it is recording. I've been watching this. Yeah. I've been watching this other guy on YouTube lately. He does breakdowns of vocals and stuff,
oh, cool.
and why you're not feeling things in the vocals.
Right.
Because producers have become so weird about pitch correcting and pitch. Well, it's okay if the pitch is off. If the person, maybe there's like a growl in the voice or there's something that it's not, everything is not supposed to be sung at this perfect. Then maybe there needs to be grit.
Right.
Like there needs to be other parts of the voice because that's where the emotion is. That's where the feeling is.
Yeah. Also, when you think about it, we go to popular music or whatever. What resonates with me in popular music is someone whose voice is distinctive from other voices.
Yes.
So I'm not, I don't own any Miley Cyrus music, but her voice is so distinctive from a lot of other people at the same time that she was out, you know?
Yes.
And a lot of these people kind of sound the same. So it's interesting when you have these, different people that are like, look, Ariana Grande, boom, you can pick her voice out immediately, right? Some of these, Kelly Clarkson, some of these people, and you don't have to be a great singer. Like, these are great singers. You could be Bob Dylan, you know? You could be Janis Joplin.
If there's that relatable.
You could be someone that's telling a good story in a sincere way. I think that it resonates with people.
That's all it is. I mean, that's why, hands down, that's why Happily After is one of the greatest shows for Disney.
Right.
It's Jordan Fisher and Angie Kay. It's their voices.
Yeah.
Like they, there's a lot of soul in that. It's just a very good recording. You just see the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, fantastic stuff. We're already in the nighttime spectaculars. I haven't even gotten through movies yet.
No, I mean, it's natural we're going to bounce back and forth.
That's how this podcast works.
Because things are going to...
We bounce all over the place.
Like Tigger.
Doesn't matter.
The wonderful thing about Tiggers.
Yeah, do it.
The wonderful thing about Tiggers. The Tigger's a wonderful thing. Their tops are matted in rubbers. Their bottoms are made in a string. They're bouncy, trouncy, fun. The very, very, very most wonderful thing about Tiggers is I'm the only one. The only one. There's no alcohol today, by the way.
We're not drinking.
No.
We're drinking...
just this wonderful catered lunch on Tom's
Tab. Great value purified drinking water.
Yes, it is a great value.
Available at your local Walmart.
But I mean, and just to mention a few in case we didn't talk about Phil Collins, which...
Did Phil Collins write Trash in the Camp? Because that's my favorite song from Tarzan.
I think he wrote the whole thing. Yeah. I think he wrote everything.
I love Trash in the Camp.
That sounds like a Phil Collins song, actually, when you think about it.
You know what? I think a lot of people think it sounds like it's from Aladdin. I think they think it sounds like a genie type of thing. I don't know.
I could see that.
I don't know. I think it could go with Aladdin or one. I mean, it's crammed into this where
you
have Aladdin.
You know what's crazy for me about Aladdin? Can I blow your mind about Aladdin?
Yeah.
It has, obviously, the Arabian feels, the... Whatever, you know, those fifths. It has but it also has a lot of big band, reminds me of like Frank Sinatra type of stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's how Friend Like Me is written. That there's nothing.
I think that's the part of Trash in the Camp. Bum, ba, da, bum, yeah.
That bubble had 40 thieves, shadows, I had 1,000 tails. That's going up your sleeve, got a brand that never. I don't know. That's just what I hear.
I like your explanations because I intuitively know some of these things. But I don't know how to explain them.
Well, yeah, but that's what. And you know what's funny? There's even ones I don't know how to explain. But sometimes I see them and I'm just like, that's the difference. That's why I've been finding even this guy with the vocal correction, because he was pulling apart Billy Joel's recording of the new song versus his Grammy's version of the new song. And he shows you where the vocal correction does things to Billy's voice that Billy would never, ever do. So if people don't like the recording as much as the Grammy version, well, that makes sense because that recording is not a real person. It's based on his voice, right. But it's generated. And then you hear the real recording, those little things that he does in his voice, that's what makes it the song. But we're so, this perfection or whatever, that maybe that's why I don't like a lot of new music, but it sucks it out of it. It sucks the feeling out of it.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
It's true. That you can do more than ever with a studio nowadays.
Yeah.
But also there's something to be said for certain more raw sound. And
yeah.
Like, that's why I like to see music live.
Yes.
If your band is not good live, I'm not interested. I don't even go to a lot of live shows, but I like that live feeling. I like a band that feels like there's a lot to see and hear and feel live.
And you got to be careful because you'd be shocked at how many things are pre-recorded on certain tracks of even some of those nowadays. But
you told me before we started. Can I touch on this? The concert you went to the other day?
Oh yeah, you can do it.
You said it's the worst concert
you've ever
been to.
It really was. I feel bad about it.
Tell us who it was.
I saw Madonna last week.
It was
a bad concert experience for me. And so many people wrote positive things, and it makes me wonder what they were looking for. But again, to go back to the music, was stripped down to terrible musical version. So before anything else, we want to get into the lights, costumes, whatever. The music was not at the quality that it should be at.
I mean, I think a lot of people will give her a lot of credit for going out on tour and doing a grueling tour, being... I assume 60, she's in her 60s.
65, I think.
So she probably gets bonus points for that.
She was drunk.
But not good.
So drunk.
Drunk or whatever.
Well, and again, I don't care as long as you're delivering. But for me, I'm going to hear... She didn't even do full versions of songs. Like, I felt like there was, like, this drone bass note for Crazy For You. Like, it's going... And she's like kind of singing over it. And I'm just like, this is a beautiful song. I want to hear the bop bops in the back. I want to hear the parts of the song that make the song.
There's
the
no
song.
Live band or anything. They're just pushing a button on
There's no live band. There's a couple of live aspects, but even that doesn't bother me if those pre-recorded music versions were better. They just weren't better. For Like a Virgin, she didn't even do it live. They put a silhouette video of two actors dancing that looked like young her and young Michael Jackson, and they just played the recording. Like, I want to hear Madonna do Like a Virgin if I'm there. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, why am I there?
Yeah. That's crazy. Because I would think that, you know, I would think she would want to wow people at this age.
I don't know if there's some contractual thing with this thing or whatever, but it... Whatever it is, I was, compared to the other people I've seen recently, especially, you know, I've seen some good shows recently, we made a point, this was just so poorly done.
Have you ever seen an artist, like, so whacked out of their mind on drugs or alcohol that the show was just a total train wreck? Besides this one you're talking about.
I'm trying to see if I remember it live.
I saw one in a bar. Right. It's not a big act. She was called Cat Power.
Okay.
Remember someone like Cat Power? I don't know. I couldn't tell you a song by Cat Power, but she happened to be at a place I was. And whacked out of her mind wandering around the bar making random noises.
Yes, I don't think I've ever seen that. I don't think I've never witnessed somebody off the deep end that much. No, I haven't. I'm trying to really think. I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Yeah, I mean, this was the weirdest one because, like, the arena was sold out. I'm watching, and like, she's slurring her words. She kind of called some guy fat. She told him he needed to go to the gym. Like, it was weird. It was weird.
Wow, she doesn't seem like someone that would be shaming people in public. But
I don't even know if I want to call. I mean, I don't know if the guy was having a good time. It was just weird. It was more just weird to me than anything.
So. We know your favorite soundtrack, then, is probably Goofy Movie. What is your favorite song from a Disney film?
I gotta say, anything. I gotta say, You'll Be in My Heart.
All right.
Come stop your crying, it'll be all right. Just take my hand, hold it tight. I will protect you, all around you. I will be here, don't you cry. Stay on now and forevermore. I think that's everything a Disney song should be.
Yeah,
that one.
It's a pretty good song.
It's musically good. It not only does it fit perfectly in the movie, but it can resonate in so many other ways.
Yeah,
that song almost always gets me if it's in a show.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Almost always.
It's a good one. They should put that in the theme park somewhere.
It's a good one. But I'm trying to think, like, I want to feel like stuff rivals that. I would love one of my, like, I would love to have a new favorite that comes out recently. And I don't have it.
After the last podcast I filmed with Desi the other night, I was singing the Wonder Pets. Have you ever heard of the Wonder Pets?
I have heard of the Wonder Pets, but I haven't.
So the Wonder Pets I don't know how to put it. Like, early 2000s.
Okay.
Like 2000, let's just say 2000. 5 to 2010, sometime like that.
Okay.
It was kind of animated backgrounds, but like the pictures of the Wonder Pets look like real animals and they make them talk.
Okay.
But they sing soft opera while they like rescue other animals.
Okay.
It was the best, man. They play a little soft opera. I got ridiculed by Lee and Jill the other night at Victoria Falls, but I think Jake stood up for me a little bit. The Wonder Pets, they have some bops.
See, I've never seen it, so I don't know. I can't.
Oh, the Wonder Pets, man.
It's so funny you picked, like, that. Those years, 2005,
yeah.
That's when I moved to Florida and was just blown away by everything I was doing. So there's a lot of things I missed in that.
Wonder Pets have nothing to do with Disney. They're Nick Jr.
That's what I mean. But that makes sense. Like, there's no reason in 2005, 2010. If I was watching Nick Jr., there would be a problem for me at that point.
I don't know how I came across him because I didn't. I mean, at one point in my life, I had 27 nieces and nephews. So it might have been through some of them. I'm not sure
how
I was exposed to the Wonder Pets. But I like the Wonder Pets a lot. And they're kind of like. Now they have, like, Paw Patrol or the Super Kitties.
Yeah, yeah.
They're kind of just...
My kids did Paw Patrol.
Kind of doing the same thing.
Right? Okay.
Running around. They're Paw Patrol, what, they're solving crimes or something? Water pets are rescuing animals.
So it's all the same.
Same type of deal, right? But they have a boat that flies. You know what it's called? The fly boat.
I was gonna say the flying boat. That's so funny. See, but you know what the thing is? The market is so, this is everything too, but the market's so saturated. Because with technology, almost anybody can make anything. Doesn't mean the quality is going to be good, but you have the ability. So there's so many of these shows. Like we will watch Sesame Street because that's what was on. That, you know what I mean? Now there's so many options. God, you can't catch everything if you wanted to.
Sesame Street. Those were the days.
Yeah.
I mostly remember the guy singing. They would sing the song of 12 or 10 or whatever. The guy would say, 10 chocolate cupcakes. He's like a chef, and he'd fall down the stairs and be covered in cupcakes. The music was good on Sesame Street,
And that's what we had. But it could be wrong, but it must have taken longer to record, and you had to do it. It's not like somebody could send a track to somebody. How many times do we do a stupid song here, and it's like, here's the track, everybody, and I email it?
Yeah.
You can do that now.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, even video editing now, anybody can buy a Final Cut Pro for, $200 or $300, put it on their iMac, and... I think that's what they make, Marvel movies with.
Well,
so for that amount of money, you can actually make, a Hollywood-quality movie, and it's the same thing with, you can make... Look, tons of artists have recording studios, in their bedroom and
stuff. Well, I was going to tell you, you'd be surprised. Most of these soundtrack people, I've gotten to interview you, Dom Lewis, before. Yeah. There's a lot of guys, depending on what the project is, they have their computer screen up, their keyboard there, and they're following along. That's how they're adding the score. That's how they're doing it. They're doing it from their homes.
I saw I don't know if it was just a little... series or something about Billie Eilish and her brother's named Phineas.
Yes.
And they're just sitting in the bedroom.
At home.
He's sitting in the bedroom. She's sitting on the bed. He's sitting at the chair. He's like, what about this? They do it and they sing it. And then he's like, okay, we got it.
That's it.
And then they make $1 billion, or whatever on, make it. Cause you can make stuff almost as good as, or as good as, what you could do in a real recording studio.
And that's what's crazy. When I got asked when I did the thing for Mr. Beast recently, I didn't even know what I was doing. I can record it in the room.
Time out. So Rob submitted a song to Mr. Beast, the king of YouTube, basically.
I guess so. He's got
for his
the number
chocolate
one.
Bar?
Yes. He's
launching a chocolate bar?
He wanted different ideas for things. They have a new formula for their chocolate, which is actually really good.
So he's launching this new chocolate bar, and he asked people to help him come up with ideas, and he would pay them anywhere between $1 and $500,000 or something
I think it was only
$10,000. $10,000.
And honestly, I didn't know any of that. They didn't tell you any of this. Right. I didn't know any, but go ahead.
So Rob created a jingle for Mr. Beast's chocolate bar, and they sent you $500.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But the funny part is Rob's I'm going to set a little backdrop, because when we were doing during COVID, when people were doing shows from home and all this stuff, you'd arrange a little backdrop, right? Something for people to look up, a shirt that says Piano Rob or something themed behind him or whatever. And their one criticism, they're like, oh man, this song is great. And they're like, this guy needs to clean his room or whatever they said to you. What's with all the junk everywhere? You're like, no, he set that up. That's his set. I don't think they understood.
I think they needed to have things to say or whatever too. They don't know what the thing. And not to mention, I didn't even know it was going to be used as video or whatever. They didn't tell me what to do. They just said, I'll write something, and I sent it.
Yeah, $500 is $500.
Well, and I'll try anything.
Right.
Especially when it's musical, but it's just. But yeah, but
so I'm sorry. Proceed with your Mr. Beast story.
My point was everything, all that stuff. When I record songs for us here. That's where it's done. It's done in that corner of my room.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the way to get into an actual studio and pay those prices and go on top of everything. It doesn't even make sense anymore.
A lot of people don't know this. I'm going to let you in. Take a peek behind the curtain.
Okay.
Spike the Bee.
Yeah.
Just recorded on an iMac in my house.
What?
You would have thought Quincy Jones or somebody was involved.
I think
with
the Capitol Records, man. That's what I thought.
No, it was just a Yeti microphone and GarageBand.
You can do you can do more than you think. I keep telling myself I should really sit down and make more recordings.
Yeah.
But it's tedious. That's the problem.
One of the Wigs members has basically mentioned the DuckTales theme.
Oh.
And since they're a Wigs member, I think we should give them a taste of the DuckTales theme.
It's like in Wedding Singer. It's, and since we let our first class passengers do pretty much anything they want, here he is. Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. The race cars, lasers, airplanes, and it's a Duckburg. I might solve a mystery, a rewrite history. DuckTales, ooh. And every day they're out there making DuckTales, ooh. And tales of daring, do bad and good luck tales. The danger, watch behind you. Ah, it's a stranger out to find you. What to do, just hang on to those DuckTales. And every day they're out there making DuckTales, ooh. And not ponytails, cottontails, DuckTales, ooh.
Nice.
I love DuckTales.
We left out DuckTales briefly, but we're
back. You know what's funny? I don't know offhand who wrote DuckTales.
I don't know.
I'm gonna look up now, yeah, look because it up. I have to now.
I think we're missing some big chunks of stuff too. Like all of High School Musical was a sensation back in the early 2000s.
So I don't know who this is. Mark Mueller is the theme park composer. So I'm gonna look him up. Yes, and all those. Well, and again, when they started making it for TV and stuff. It doesn't mean you use lesser composers, but it's funny, like, because that first High School Musical was a Disney Channel movie.
Yeah.
And it's good, great music for what it is.
No, that was a bop.
Yeah.
Can I refer to a whole movie as about High School Musical?
The whole movie was about?
I was too old to know that.
We're all in this together. Hand in hand, and we see it.
Sounds familiar.
Sounds familiar.
No, I remember. I've seen it. I thought it was good. I didn't like the second one. I don't think I watched the whole thing. But
I'm going to be honest. I didn't mind the second one. I actually thought the second one in many ways was better because they realized the first one was so good, they upped the quality a little.
Yeah.
So there's
I sort of like the cheesiness of the first one. It's not quite public access, but it's a little like not as high-end production. I kind of appreciate that.
The thing that there was some really good Disney Channel movies, and I feel like, and I hate to say it, like some of those, the original movies for kids on Disney Plus now, they don't hit that same feeling with me as the ones on Disney Channel. I don't know.
But there's other
things, there's plenty of things Disney Plus does I love, but I just, that feeling, like even that, there's just more feeling in the music. And again, it might have had something to do with the recording.
No, I went on a cruise once, a Disney cruise, and it was like a rough sea day or whatever, and it was just like a just chill out in a stateroom type of day.
Okay.
And so like High School Musical was on, so that's my exposure. I saw it, I was just on a loop. I'm sure I've seen the whole movie, but I don't know if I've ever seen it all at once. I've just seen like a piece here and the first one. And the second one, I think maybe it was on too.
So the first one I watched, I felt a lot because I was a newer Disney cast member, probably college program time-ish. So that's what was big in the park.
You were a CP?
Yeah.
No way. I didn't know. How did I not know that?
My college program, 2005. That's when I moved down here. What'd you do? I was a backlot tour guide.
Were you really?
I was the backlot tour.
We're going to talk about some of the friends that we must have in common.
Oh, yeah. So I did backlot tour for my college program, and then I stayed on part-time and seasonal basically till it closed because then I was full piano man at that point.
I never knew that you were a backlot tour guide.
Yeah, why do you think I was pushing for Catastrophe Canyon so hard?
I don't know. You didn't disclose that. I was not aware of your bias.
Yeah, I can't believe you didn't know that. Yeah,
maybe. I was probably not paying attention.
You're probably not. You're in your own.
Yeah, when we're doing March Madness, I'm looking at a lot of papers and shuffling and writing a lot
of
things.
But yeah, man, Studios is in my heart, especially Disney MGM version. Like that's Studios always holds. But that's why I stayed here. And then that's when I started working Howl at the Moon. And then I was there for a bunch of years. Then we opened the bar downtown. That was And then Jelly Roll.
I never knew you were a CP.
Yeah. I love my college.
I know so many people who
I was a CP when Chatham was new.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. Your mind's blown now.
Are we going to get to maybe what is your favorite theme park song?
My favorite theme park song. That's a good one. I feel like it's I feel like it's Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, I see the universe of energy.
You want to share it with the class?
It's good.
You played a little, right?
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow. Shining at the... And we're talking a traction song.
Yeah.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow. And tomorrow is just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. You want to talk about actually something fun musically? I'm sure people notice it. I love the way that song changes through each scene of the ride. It'll go to the big band version at one. Oh, there's a great thing. Yeah. And then by the end, they got like all the harmonies. Just a dream away. Yeah. But that stuff, I mean, the universe energy theme is always fun.
It is
good. Feel the flow.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. The universe of energy. Like that stuff, it just...
I love... My favorite part of that song is when it kind of... When he starts hitting it with "There's a force beyond our eyes." You know what I'm talking...
Yeah. The force beyond our eyes.
The part they left out of, like, Epcot Forever, you're like, why did you just sing, like, 10 seconds?
Ten more seconds.
You just sang more of Universe of Energy than they sang during Epcot Forever.
Yeah.
They're like just enough to go like, okay, give the Epcot fanboys a little taste so they'll go away.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, see, I don't know, but those songs are so funny because they're so specific. There's people like us that hit us. You know, I do this one that I always think. See, you know, I can put the...
The pooping song.
For so many people, like, there's going to be people that listen to the podcast right now that are going to be like, I have no idea what that was. And then there's going to be people listening that they just ascended their whole body up like an inch because they were like, oh my God, like, because it feels something to certain people.
You could fill a music library with just Epcot music.
I know. Well, because now Promise from Illuminations is probably, at this point in my life, is probably the best.
Gavin Greenaway.
Ever. That one. That one's.
Don Dorsey, our good friend. Involved in that too.
I'm trying to think. Like, there's other good ones. Like, when Brian McKnight came out with "Remember the Magic,"
yeah.
Even the Leanne Rimes.
No, one. You know the one I like that I remember is the Millennium. Why am I blanking on this?
Celebration, the Tapestry of Nations.
No,
no.
I can't believe I can sing it, but I'll have to get to the chorus before I figure out what the song was
Which
called.
Which one? Now we go.
Celebrate the Future, hand in hand.
Oh yes, I got the sheet music for that at home somewhere.
I just there's so much great Epcot music, and it's a shame that we've lost a lot of those.
But it wouldn't resonate. But see, here's the thing: I have to accept, and I hate saying it, but I have to accept it doesn't resonate with another generation as much. And I almost appreciate people that try to make remakes of songs or movies when you're trying to bridge the gap between like parents and children generation. But there's got to be a better way. That, I mean, God, even just like the Food Rocks and the Kitchen Cabaret.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Food Rocks was more my generation than Kitchen Cabaret. But I still hear the Refrigerator Police and the Peach Boys. Like, I still hear them in my head. I have all those versions of the songs.
Won't forget the lick-in. He got from that big chicken. Yeah. Now he gets his poultry from the store. Yeah.
But like, but that means something to us. It's not going to mean something to a new generation. And let's face it, at our age, if Food Rocks was still around, I don't know how often we'd sit in there. Maybe really often. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know, making memories.
Making memories, taking pictures. Long before the old Model T, not before the turn of the century. Yeah, all that stuff.
I miss it. I do. There's great music in all the parks.
Yeah, I know.
Epcot, in particular, they put a lot of time, effort, expense into hiring these composers to come up with amazing music.
And that's what's made me sad about the new stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, where they call the entrance to Epcot, it's beautiful. It is. But it's like Tom has said, a Spotify playlist, right? You go in there and the music they're playing out front is just kind of like, whatever we came up with that feels like a soaring score. You know, it's nothing. It's not. You don't get that weird, quirky.
Well, and I also think something with a lot of the lyric, with a lot of the lyrics now for everything, you want to reach such a wide audience that it's almost like I feel like you're Miss Cleo. Your message is so broad it can apply to anybody. Like that's, but then you lose something in that. You try to make it so broad that now the feeling's gone. Like I don't want anybody to ever feel excluded ever. But I think there's ways to do things. Like I think Go the Distance could be a song for anybody, and I think we're still going to be singing that song in 30 years.
I think there is a magic to there's like a sweet spot that you find where something is good enough to appeal to a wide audience, but people feel a personal connection to it. They feel like this is my thing. Like this is the same thing with characters, right? There are people who are, have latched on to one character that they're like, okay, they're like, my girlfriend is like Gus Gus. She's like, yes. She feels like there's a new Gus Gus thing she's got to get.
Now, does she like Gus Gus thing for what reason? Does she relate to Gus Gus? Does she think he's cute?
She loves Cinderella in general, but specifically Gus Gus.
So, and that's who she picks. You know, that's great.
You know, and Jake has Stitch. A lot of people have.
That's why Jake's Stitch. Bad level is
there's
so
there's a lot of people that have a very personal connection to Stitch. And there's a lot of people that have very personal connections to, like, Jack Skellington.
Yeah, that's another cult one.
And they feel like it's their thing, right? They feel like this is something, like, I've carved out a little piece that other people don't connect with like I do. And they feel like a personal, like, I used to feel that with Mr. Toad, right? I was like, he's kind of like my thing. He's kind of like my
guy.
I realized, like, he's very popular with a lot of people. That's why they sell a lot of his merchandise.
Yes, but not, say, on a Mickey Mouse level, which is what's funny. Speaking of Jack Skellington, Elfman.
Yeah.
That's like there's just that, and you can hear that. Like every Elfman song, that's Beetlejuice. In case you're like all the Elfmans are like that. Pee-wee's like that.
Yeah.
Like he's got his own thing.
During Hollywood Nights, I did a Jollywood Nights. At studios, I was assigned to cover the "What's This" Jack Skellington Halloween spectacular.
Yes.
And you're reminded like all those great songs from that film, but none of them are like toe tap and sing along songs. So like it lost its like no one was singing along because everyone's like, oh, so, what's the word to this? Like it, you know, it was really weird.
It was weird to call it a sing along.
It didn't lend itself to sing along music. Beauty and the Beast sing-along, on the other hand, very sing-alongable, but they've decided to have this version of it there where they at Epcot, where they just start the song and then they just stop. They move to the next one. It's
because they have to fit. I'm not a fan of that.
It's just show. It's, I have called it the worst attraction at Disney World.
But you know what? Something I would almost rather. See, I don't know how expensive this becomes. I'd like to see almost like do a rock opera version for Nightmare Before Christmas. Nobody needs to sing.
Yeah.
Like even if it's instrumental, like something, you know, whether it be some puppets or there's just other, there's cooler ways to use the music because that music is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Not a sing-along. We don't need everybody going, you know, kidnap Mr. Sandy.
No, they should
Claus.
Have like a whole, turn the animation courtyard into like Halloween Town.
Yes.
And have, you know, background music there or something like that might be a good way to use it.
And by the way, I see that Kodak pre-show with True Colors. That's what I always think of, too. Every time I play this song, I think of that. I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors. That's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show. True colors. Got that whole section of Epcot. Listen to the land we all love. Nature's plan gonna shine above. Listen to the land. You can just go on all day and just play.
It's fun to be free.
Oh, God, I don't know what offhand, but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what offhand.
Well, obviously, we did Universe of Energy. There's a lot of great stuff. Horizons had some great stuff.
Horizons is always good.
If we can dream, we can do it.
Yeah. There it is. If we can dream it. Yes, we can.
Obviously, Spaceship Earth.
Yes.
Tomorrow's Child and all of those.
Tomorrow's Child. Tomorrow's Child. Charting a brand new day. Basically, that movement. Charting a brand new. You don't always see. Now, I'll tell you where you hear it, actually, that same movement. You'll be back soon, you'll see. You'll remember you belong to me. Like
we've connected Lin-Manuel Miranda to Spaceship Earth.
But I'm just saying,
I would never, like, it's the, you're a musician, you get this stuff. I don't, like, my sister is a music teacher, my brother was a musician, my mom, everyone in my family except me is musical.
Okay.
So they might understand some of that, me,
right, it's just, I mean, it's just little things I notice, and I'm just like, yeah, like that's why I like that. There's so many songs that they don't, so many movies that they don't. I finally watched Wish.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
I love the idea of it.
Yeah,
I really do. I love the idea of it, but on the low, on the main song that they sing isn't bad, but I'm just missing something for me with the music.
I felt like for me, they tried too hard to make me watch Wish.
Okay.
Like they were trying to cram it down everyone's throat. And yeah. I just felt like it went too far. I felt like we were this close to we made a joke about our news tonight, I think. We were like this close to them saying like, oh, if you want to watch the Eras Tour on Disney Plus, first you have to stream Wish.
Yes, yes.
It was like,
you know. But the thing is, if the music's good, and this is how I can tell you why I know the music's not good. Nobody's requesting it from me.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing it anywhere. Like, we live in the bubble. Yeah. Like, there's something missing when you're not grabbing people with the songs. There's something that's where your money needs to go. You shouldn't even be doing anything else until those songs are properly, you know, they're right. I don't know who's picking the final versions of things. I just don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
But that's what matters.
You break a few eggs to make an omelet.
You listen to the music way more than you watch a movie.
Yeah.
If it's good. How many times have you listened to Hakuna Matata versus watching The Lion King?
True. And plus, how many dads in a red Hakuna Matata shirt do you see on an average visit to Animal Kingdom?
Target special, baby. Target special.
There used to be a game, I think it was on TikTok or something. It's like count. Like, Hillary and I did it one day. It was like a dozen before noon.
So
men wearing the red Hakuna Matata shirt.
I'll tell you a couple. This has happened more than once.
So is the dad, right?
If I have my, like, a friend come down from New York that hasn't seen me in a while, how many times, this has happened at least 3 or 4 times now. They're like, oh, I got this Hakuna Matata shirt. They can, like, it was, like, original. Like, I'm going to Disney. And then I go, and everybody else, like, yeah, because you all bought it for the same vacation. And then you're going to go home and not wear it anymore because everybody got it at Target.
Yeah, or the dad, grandma, mom, the red ones with the mouse ears on them.
Yeah.
And then you get into the drinking shirts for festivals and stuff like that. And none of them are very original. We've seen them all.
Yeah.
We've all seen malt whiskey with the Walt Disney font. We've all seen it 100 times.
Most expensive day ever.
Most expensive day ever.
There's so many
Bibbidi Bobbidi broke. You know, Bibbidi Bobbidi drunk. Or whatever, yeah. How much you're drinking?
But listen, everybody lives in their own niche. It makes you happy. It makes you happy.
I think it's funny.
But it is. Yes, for us, it's funny because you those people pass by us. And we're like, there's another one. Like that's what it looks like to us. And we know you're an individual.
Like DJ Khaled. And another one. we might get a copyright hit for that.
That is so perfect.
I don't know. Did you know he went to Dr. Phillips High School?
No.
Yeah.
That doesn't shock me because I know like Joey Fatone went there. A lot of those people
went there.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Several baseball players. A lot of people went to school.
A lot of people were discovered in this area because there's opportunities for you to perform at all ages in this area. Yeah. I mean, look, we're all proof of it in weird ways.
Yeah.
But that's the thing.
They used to have Nickelodeon Studios over there at Universal.
You know,
so a lot of stuff was going on there for a
while.
Mickey Mouse Club was here.
Well, it was filmed. I mean, you know what's funny? After watching Quiet on the Set, which I don't know if everybody's watched on HBO yet, it seems like the child labor laws were looser here too, which I did not realize. I don't know if that had a lot to do with it. They could work kids.
I don't know. Quiet on Set, because that all happened, Nick, on Sunset, right, in Hollywood. That was, not a lot of that was from the studio here.
All that was filmed here, though.
All that filmed a few seasons here. So some of this stuff is at Universal Studios Florida. You see their intros and songs where they're in clearly, like, kind of where the Blues Brothers stage is, you know, in the New York area. But most of the problems they're talking about on that, on the series, on the three episodes, I don't... Is that a series?
It's five now.
Is it five?
They just added a new one.
They dropped more?
They added one.
I thought it was like three.
Remember when The Tiger King was so big, and then a couple weeks later, Joel McHale's interviewing people on it? It's like that. It was big, so they brought people back to interview him.
What's funny, I saw, so Mark Summers, who hosted Double Dare and other things.
Of course.
He walked out of their interview. Because basically this company called, hey, we want to interview about Nickelodeon and all this stuff. He gets there and they're like, are you aware of all this blah, blah, blah? You know, he's like, they ambushed him with this. He's like.
Oh, I didn't know he felt ambushed.
And he's like, number one, I don't know the guy, Dan Schneider. I think it was Schneider, whatever. Yeah,
totally different relation to this show.
He's like, literally, like, I was gone when he showed up. We never worked together. I never had any connection to anything he was doing. Like, they were just basically, like, and they were taking things, and they basically took the beginning of the interview where he's talking about how great Nickelodeon is.
Yeah.
And then trying to put that against the lens of, like, him saying Nickelodeon is great when all this terrible stuff happened.
I guess he
felt like it was,
that's
he
interesting.
Was tricked or duped or whatever the kids are saying these days. But, that was quite an interesting show. I did not know. I thought it was, like, three episodes and it was over.
Yeah.
You know, we interviewed Drake Bell here on WWE, on this channel, I think.
That's
WWNT.
That's interesting.
During COVID, like lockdown, there was like one day one of his representatives, somebody reached out like, anybody want to interview Drake Bell while we're on COVID? He'll give you a tour of his house. I think Tyler Mann or somebody, like we had some people that interviewed him.
Wow.
I don't know where it is, but I know we, like in 2020, we interviewed Drake Bell.
He was really only on my radar as the voice of Spider-Man.
I don't know. I'm aware that there's a show called like Drake and Josh.
Yeah, but I didn't watch it. It was after Me Too.
But I got it confused with the show where the two kids were twins.
Pete and Pete.
No, The Sweet Life.
Sister. Oh yeah, Sweet Life. Zach and Cody.
I didn't watch them. Right. I was out of there by then. But I wasn't sure what the show was. But I know that existed. So, and that is there's a lot of bad stuff. It comes out in that documentary.
Yes,
a lot
yes.
of really bad stuff.
Yes, if you're around our age and you want to ruin your childhood.
I mean,
it's important stuff.
If only someone could have warned people that being a child star is dangerous.
I think that it's a life lesson. I don't want to get into life lessons too much. I don't want to ever sound. But what if there's a job that you think is a lot of fun? It probably means that it either doesn't pay well or the treatment's not good.
Yeah.
So be careful of what you – have realistic dreams. Like you got to find out what the other – what all aspects are, not just the dream aspects of a job.
The reality is you get a job like that in Hollywood as a kid. There's no way you're turning it down, right?
Basically, like, I think that's
chance
the thing.
To do the
and
thing.
And it seems like the moms who stood up for things they didn't believe in, those are the kids that got
– Yeah. That's
any job,
possible.
Though. But that's it. You ruffle feathers.
We're getting a little bit. Oh, someone posted the link to our Drake Bell giving us the tour of his house. We'll see if maybe Billy can find that video and link it in the final edit of this video. It just seems like Drake Bell's dad was doing all the right things. He's like, I see red flags.
Yeah.
I don't want him hanging out with this guy.
Yeah.
All this kind of stuff. But he was going through an acrimonious divorce with his mom and. That guy trying to kind of poison Drake and the mom against the dad. And next thing you know, Drake's spending a night at that guy's house.
Bad
things happen.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
The father in me, like, I would lose it. It wouldn't be. And that's why it's like, it's just, yeah. It's and you feel bad because it does. When people seem like they're doing the right things and there's still no protection.
Thing is, like, in something like a divorce, everyone, I think, feels like they're the good guy being victimized in a divorce. So that's why.
I think everybody always.
That's why
feels
these
like
things
the
get
guy.
Really bad, and the dad could fight all he wanted, and it was just going to make it worse if he, So you're like, you probably felt powerless, right? You lose, your son is now going with the mom and doing these things, and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
Yeah.
You've warned him, and one of the reasons that they're going to them is because they're tired of you warning him, right?
Yeah. I agree with all that. And and it's hard to have the hope that things are always okay when, like, because, you know, I'm a divorced parent. I'm always a little nervous when my kids aren't with me. And I'm not putting that on their mom or anything else, but, like, they're not with me. It's relinquishing this control, which controls an illusion for most of us. We don't know what's going to happen 1 minute to the next. But that, yeah, that's always scary. And
it's because you have an instinctive responsibility within yourself. You had this kid. It's my job now to protect you.
Yeah.
And when that kid is not with you, there's nothing you do. You're powerless.
Yeah.
That's what I think you're feeling.
But yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that about a lot of things. You know what I mean? But that's.
Welcome to Psychology with Eric.
Yeah. This
I am not a psychologist, but I did never take a psychology course either. So
I did. Take my advice with a I took a psychology course.
I didn't.
I just try to share all I can share is what I learned. Right. I don't know if it works for everybody. That's all I could do when it comes to things. Music and other.
Ah, Super Mario. What a guy.
Yeah, baby.
Anything else you feel we need to touch on? We're going for a while here, but...
I don't even know how long we're going.
I don't know.
We could talk all day. I mean, we hit a lot of the music. We can go into any detail of it. I mean, but...
All right. So there are, background tracks all over the parks. Everywhere you go in a Disney park, you're going to hear background music.
Okay.
We have done this where we've tried to level them, put them in their tiers.
Okay.
Future World, the old loop is right there at the top, right?
Yeah.
The old background music loop. The worst one Tom chose was Grand Avenue.
Well, I don't know what the music loop was.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's the problem. Those might be one of I'll hear it, I'll be like, oh my God, that brings me
back. I'll sit there and look at Grand Avenue from Baseline Tap House, and Baseline's playing like, coffee shop versions of popular music.
Baseline's got a bizarre... If you don't know, you must have mentioned this somewhere in life. Baseline has bizarre background music. It's not even that I'm going to say... I won't even say it's bad. It's very unique to... I've never heard these versions of songs, like popular songs.
I don't hate it. I think most people kind of make fun of it. I don't hate it.
I don't know what the vibes... I hate to use the word identity crisis. Like, I knew what Studios was supposed to be, but when it stopped becoming a working studio, now it's like, you know, you got your Toy Stories and your Star Wars. I don't know everything that it is. So with that, the music loop makes less sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I don't even know that this song is on that playlist, but when I think of sitting at Baseline Tap House, the song that comes to my head is like a slow version of like, Smooth Operator.
Sade!
Smooth
Operator, coast to coast and into Chicago.
Yeah.
We had a lot of smoothies last week, and I actually said to Allie, I want to make the song Smoothie Operator.
Yeah.
So that makes the smoothies. Smoothie Operator.
Well, you know, at Food and Wine at DCA has their own playlist that we talked about because I made
and Jim I forgot Varden, the song the
wire,
already.
Yeah, the wire from
Down on the Wire.
Chaim. That was the best. But yeah, it got to the point where I was just Shazamming the whole playlist because that playlist exists. You can Google it,
of course,
but it changes a little bit year to year. So I'm like, oh, I haven't heard this one before on here. You know,
that's
Shazam,
so
Shazam,
funny.
Shazam. So.
I miss the song that they used to play on Kilimanjaro Safari when you got into, like, the grassland area.
I don't remember.
It was, like, some African thing. I don't want to... Like, it's going to sound offensive if I probably... It was, like, Ombawe.
Yeah.
Omba, and like,
oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I know what you're talking about.
It was... I missed that.
I wish I knew how to describe that music to, like, Google. When I get home, I'm like, oh, can I... Because I always think of Viva Gaia, the band. Because sing Africa. Viva Gaia, Africa. Or whatever. But, Animal Kingdom has a lot of music.
Springs is in my head because I'm in Springs a lot when I play at Boathouse.
Oh, yeah. Also, you can see Piano Rob at the Boathouse on weekends.
Yes. There's four shows there a weekend, Saturday, Sunday night, and Saturday, Sunday brunch, and Friday and Saturday night. But yeah, so that's in my head. And I always hear, like, there's one of the Tangled songs, but it's like that same, it's like almost like, and it's When Will My Life Begin? But it's like this sound. Or it's a Princess and the Frog.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Is that playing Almost There, but it's like with this sound? My mama told me fairy tale.
Oh, yeah. Dizzy Springs has some funny ones.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just it's funny, man. I mean, yeah, obviously John Williams has done most of the big Star Wars stuff now, which they own, and he's his own beast. Yeah. His is more whimsical, his composing, and I know that his aren't for lyric reasons, but... And then... like that type of stuff. Like, I don't know.
It's the best.
I don't know. It's all so fun. It's all so different. And I like picking out those composer differences. Yeah. Like, you can hear the difference in his stuff, that full orchestral sound. I don't know. It's just nice. Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh. Coming from the Wigs.
Deep in the 100-acre wood, where Christopher Robin plays. Named Eeyore is his friend, and Kanga and Little Roo. There's Rabbit and Piglet, and there's Owl, but most of all, Winnie the Pooh.
Go off.
Chubby little cubby, all stuffed with fluffies. Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh, where the nilly silly old bear.
You mentioned Tangled, and I almost forgot that one. That's a great...
That's Alan Menken, too.
Some great songs in Tangled. Yeah, we kind of skipped out on that earlier.
I don't know if I know most.
Tangled is amazing.
I don't know if I know most of them offhand.
Have you seen the Tangled musical? Have you been on a cruise line?
No. Is it good?
Yeah, yeah. And then they don't any... I guess they don't anymore, I was told, but they used to turn... There's a bar called O'Gill's.
Okay.
Darby O'Gill.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the Little People.
And the Little People.
They turn O'Gill's on Tangled Night into the Snuggly Duckling.
Oh, that's cool.
So they have
cool.
new covers for the tables and make them look like old and wooden with
and they
like
all
rings
sing,
on them and
they
stuff.
They got a dream? I'm malicious, mean, and scary. My steer could curdle dairy. And violence-wise, my hands are not the cleanest. But despite my evil look and my temper and my hook, I've always yearned to be a concert penis. Can't you see me on the stage performing folks are tickling the ivories as they gleam? I'd rather be called deadly for my killer show tune medley. Cause way down deep inside I've got a dream. You gotta stream, do it, you gotta stream. Stream. We gotta monetize to reign supreme.
Keep going.
We will break your femurs if you don't get with our streamers. Like everybody else. Gosh.
I love it. I wish I had talent.
You have plenty of talent.
I want to go home and get a piano. I have guitars. Don't know how to play them.
I don't know. With music, it's all about... It's about... You got to find the time to just sit there and play. It's like going to the gym. It's like if you got to do the exercise. Like it's... Yeah. It's all,
I know.
It's doable.
I know. I was given a guitar for my birthday a couple years ago and took one lesson on like the Fender app. So not even like a real lesson. Like
I'm gonna
play this over and over.
And you're like,
And I couldn't tell you what I learned on that. And then now I've inherited my brother's guitars. I feel like an obligation to try to learn
something.
You have
to now, yes.
Right?
You got to learn at least Wonderwall.
At least keep them in tune.
Wonderwall. Guitars go out of tune quick, so don't feel bad. It's like a piano takes a little longer, but a guitar, if you left it there for a week, it might not be in tune.
The Fender Play app will tune your guitar, help you tune your guitar.
That let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. As a musician, that's such a big deal for me that you can just open your phone and have it. Like I had to buy a tuner. Like
it's
like,
not a tuna.
It's not a tuna. That's a skit.
So it's something dumb that throws us off.
Get the Natal Chopper.
What is your favorite Disney song to play?
Ooh, to play?
There's got to be one.
Try to think if it's Friend Like Me.
Maybe you can think about it, and then when we're done, you can play us out with that.
Okay. One. Yeah, there's so many good ones. You know what I mean? That's like... It's harder than picking children because there's so many good ones.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite Country Bears song?
All the men that turn me on, turn me down. All the men that turn me on, turn me down. I forgot all the words. Mama Don't Whoop.
Good enough.
I always liked Mama Don't Whoop.
I like old Slewfoot.
I don't know old Slewfoot.
He's big around the middle, yeah, yeah. And he's broad across the room. 90 miles an hour, making 30 feet a jump. Never been cornered, ain't never been treed. Some folks say he looks a lot like me.
So you know what's funny? Traditionally, yeah. I'm not a huge Country Bear fan because I didn't grow up with that. The New York City guy in me doesn't understand that kind of Lester's Possum Farm.
Clapping on one and three stuff, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Hey. I don't know. I just never, that wasn't what I grew up with. So it's funny. I appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah.
But it wasn't always one of my favorites.
It's never been, it's always been in my orbit, right? It's been a thing because I was like, I carried a Disney World lunchbox, the same 1971 lunchbox that we have on display over there.
That's right.
That's what I carried to school as a kid.
I had the Mickey Mouse one.
Yeah.
With the thermos.
Mine was the Walt Disney World one. It has the back is the band.
That's so funny.
So I always had with me.
I had actually a very similar one to that, but it was not Country Bear. It was Mickey Mouse. It had that thermos with the.
If you look at the other side, it might remind you. It might be the same one.
It might. If that's so funny. That's what we did as a kid.
Yeah.
That's what
you
we
had
did.
A thermos. I never actually had anything good in a thermos either. Like some of my friends, like, oh, some hot soup. No, not me. It's like,
I joke. Hopefully, my mother doesn't listen to this podcast. But I almost thought we were poor. I didn't feel like I had much say in what I got in my lunch. Like we take so much consideration to the kids because I don't want to give them something they don't like.
Yeah.
Like, but like I felt like they didn't care when we were kids. You eat this.
Most of my life, I didn't eat. I didn't bring my lunch. I ate lunch like from the cafeteria.
Oh, see, I didn't get that luxury often. Maybe like once. It was like one special month in 8 years of school.
Oh, really?
I got hot lunch.
I don't think it was expensive. I don't know. I wasn't paying the bills, but I don't think it was prohibitively expensive. I don't think it was more expensive than packing your own lunch.
I assume it had to be, or else why wouldn't my mom have just done that?
Some people just feel like they like to put that personal parenting touch and pack your lunch for you.
No.
I would have just eaten. I would have just asked for peanut butter and jelly and like Cheetos every day.
I got a lot. I mean, that's what we got. A lot of that type of.
Yeah.
That type of.
You
stuff.
You ever had to eat the rectangle pizza?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've had the red. Yeah.
Yeah, the rectangle.
It's like Elio's at school.
Yeah. So Elio's is another thing I never heard of until I met Tom, and I don't think it's exclusive to like New York area
because
I think they have it here, but I'd never heard of it. I was always like Geno's and Totino's. Those were the cheap pizzas when I was a kid.
Yeah, I didn't have Totino's. Till college program days when I was poor and I had Totino's.
Oh, you get like.
It was a dollar, 88 cents.
Four for $5 or yeah. Five for $4.
I think even in 2005 it was like 88 cents at Totino's.
Yeah, but they made a major change to Totino's when they stopped making round ones and they started making them all rectangular. And
I'm talking about the round ones.
Right. So the round ones would come in a box and inside the box it would be wrapped up in plastic.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Now they're just wrapped in plastic and they're rectangles. Like I feel like it's not the same. Quality experience that I'm accustomed to.
Yeah, everything's different now. I don't know.
I can wreck a Totino's pizza. Like I realize this. Look, I'm not trying to say that this is as good as some of the top pizzerias that you're going to find in places like New Haven or New York or whatever. But either it has its place. I like a Totino's pizza every now and then.
I have not had one in years, but like I would come home from like Howl at the Moon Tampa when I worked there.
Yeah,
and eat a whole one because I was starving. It was 4 in the morning. I'm trying a new place tomorrow over here at Darrell Carter Parkway called Sal's Pizza something.
Sal's Pizza.
I've gotten it recommended by 4 people now have told me, so I'm going to check.
Sir, there's all that stuff at Darrell Carter where they're putting in, they put in the White Castle.
Yes.
And they put in Portillo's
I'm assuming
for all the
it's
Chicago
over,
people.
I'm assuming
Shake Shack.
Yes.
That's where my dog goes to daycare now around there. There's... God, there's a couple other things. That place is blowing up.
I'm assuming it's in that same area. But there's a lot of timeshares and stuff there. There should be.
Yeah.
So I'll go check it out for lunch tomorrow.
Yeah. O-Town West is the name of that area now.
Is it really?
Yeah, they're calling it O-Town West.
God, that sounds. I should make. I want. I should become.
Since we're talking about boy bands.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Powerline. There was O-Town.
Imagine. I want to be in like the boy band O-Town West. Like
O-Town
like
West.
Because they named it all or nothing at all. There's nowhere names to call. We've reached the bottom. We're O-Town West.
Is that an O-Town song?
That's All or Nothing by O-Town.
I don't know. So
I know when he's been on your mind, that distant look is in your eyes. I'm serenading Eric. You know that one?
I know. Well, look, we've kind of come full circle.
Yeah,
we've back in O-Town. We've touched on the movies and the theme parks and everywhere in between.
Yeah.
Jake recommended a song that might be a good one to play us out to.
Oh, I'll see.
Golden you know Dreams.
I'm gonna pull it up and do it the right way. And yeah. Leave in the comments if you want to hear other stuff, because we can always put more songs on stuff and record more stuff and do more
stuff.
We'll
do another episode one day.
Oh, man. How I can find it. America, spread your golden wings. Sail on freedom's wings. Across the sky, great bird, with your golden dreams, flying high, America, you must keep dreaming now, dreaming of the promised vow of your pioneers, America.
Ask not what you can do for your country, but what we can do for America.
What else is in there?
Oh, have a dream that the Brotherhood of Man will become a reality in this day.
One small step for man.
Eagle has landed. Eagle has landed. One small step for man. One giant leap for mankind.
Who come to this happy place, America. I hope Jake's laughing in there. Spread your golden wings, sail on freedom's wind across the sky. That's a show.
Well, I appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Thank you so much. Let's do it again sometime.
Yes, let's.
Yeah, I can't go another 30 episodes without you.
No.
Maybe after 24, 25 more.
I feel like once I put music in something we do, then it's like, damn it. Now we need music.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Thanks for watching. And we will see you next time on the WW News Today podcast. And you say, see you real soon.
See you real soon.
Bye-bye.